We do welcome you to our service this morning. We trust that the Lord will bless our coming together in his name to his house today. May the presence of the Lord be known amongst us as we meet together. Do remember the restrictions again as you enter and exit and while you're in the building. All of those restrictions you're familiar with. And of course, we are aware of them and the need to adhere to them as we can. So remember, please, those restrictions as we meet in the house of God. Remember to meet in our own homes, and we encourage God's people to do that this afternoon, to seek the face of God in prayer, even in our own homes this afternoon, to pray that God will answer prayer and move in our situation. We're thankful for all the vaccines that are becoming now available, and we trust that in days to come this will work out even for good, and that the hand of the Lord will be upon our land and our nation in these trying times. The gospel service tonight at 7, and it's a message for the new year, and we're speaking on that subject tonight. Our sister Natasha will bring ministry and song in the gospel. Do come and join us if it's safe for you to do so tonight. I know that for many they feel maybe a bit unsafe, but for others there's always the danger of complacency, and we don't come or we don't bother coming. And so we trust that people will, who are sick or not sick and who have no COVID or symptoms or isolating because of it, will be able to come out and join us in the house of God. Do you remember Wednesday at 8 p.m. is our Bible study, prayer meeting in the church hall, continuing our studies in the survey of the New Testament. This week it is the epistle to the Colossians. We commend that to you Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Each morning this week, the minister's week of prayer will take place by Zoom. Do please remember that, and even lift your heart to God on behalf of our churches and the need of our own church and all of our sister congregations, and the need of the work right across the world this week, each morning at 10 o'clock. So please remember that. Presbytery meeting will be by Zoom on Friday night, and the link will be forwarded for this to the elders in due course. Youth fellowship meeting by Zoom on Friday the 15th of January, God willing, at 8 p.m. That's the next youth fellowship meeting. Baskets at the exits for the offerings. Today is Building Fund Sunday. All loose collections of Building Fund envelopes go towards the Building Fund. Next Lord's Day, family worship, 11:30, 7 p.m., the gospel service. The preacher at both services, Reverend Samuel Murray from Port of Vogue. I will be in Port of Vogue next Lord's Day at the services there. The prayer meeting, pre-church prayer meeting, tonight again, 6:20 to 6:45 in the youth room. Remember that before the evening service, and also next week with that before the evening service too. Envelopes for 2021 can be picked up today. Gift aid envelopes will be separate with your name on it. Other ordinary free will offering envelopes are available as well. It can be picked up on the shelf above the cupboard at the notice board there. We appreciate the giving of the Lord's people during the past year. It's been an especially difficult year that you've kept your offerings up, and we thank you all in the Lord's name. In fact, such has been the giving. We've had a good surplus in our offerings, and we've been able to very shortly now pay off the variable loan that we have. So that will be, God willing, soon cleared. And then we're concentrating on the other loan, and it's coming down well. So we do thank you in the Lord's name for your giving in 2020. We trust the Lord will help you again in regard to this in the new year. Literature, all subscriptions are due for the 2021 Vision magazine. The cutoff date is today. Robert has got to get this in. So please, if you're hesitating and you haven't done anything about it, see Robert today after either of the services, or get in touch with him and he will make sure your name's on. £6 for the year for the magazine. Could I express on behalf of our Kirk session and committee and congregation sympathy to our brother Cecil Lancashire and the loss of his sister Mabel this past week. We commend you to the Lord, Cecil, and your family. The funeral was yesterday, and we just pray that the Lord will give you comfort and grant you grace and the family through this difficult time. And then do pray especially for Mary McFadden, as she's scheduled to have surgery on Thursday of this week. Do pray for her that the Lord's touch will be upon her and that this surgery will go ahead and will be successful. Do pray for Eric Barnes' wife, who just got home from hospital in recent days. Remember all others who have health issues, appointments, procedures in coming days and weeks. Could I also announce this morning that our brother, Mr. Hugh Garrett Sr., has stood down as treasurer of the church after 30 faithful years of service. Our brother Hugh took this job on temporary 30 years ago, and he ended up doing it for 30 years. So we thank God for our brother. No words that I could express today could convey to you God's faithful servant and his faithful labours in the treasury. And I know I speak of you on behalf of you all today in conveying our thanks to you for his faithful, unassuming, diligent service for the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you, Hugh, on behalf of all in Ballygowan FPC this morning for your faithful labours. The committee have appointed a joint treasurers, I should say, Mr. Robert Catterson, Mr. Cecil McBurney, our joint treasurers as from the start of this year, 2021. Hugh, of course, will assist them in the transition and all the assistance that they need. He will be there to give it. And do pray for our brethren. Robert has been assistant treasurer, of course, and the committee, as has been Cecil on the committee as well. So remember these brethren as they take on these added duties and responsibilities. Times change. We all get older, as we all know, and things move on, and we trust the Lord will bless his work in days to come for his honour, for his praise, and for his glory. Let us worship the Lord this morning. We'll worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let us sing to God's praise the Psalm 100, which will be on the screen before you. We keep our seats as we sing moderately.
Thank you.
gracious, loving, eternal, blessed Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy and sacred presence this morning in the peerless and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee we come to one who is God over all, blessed forever. We thank thee, O God, there is none beside thee. Thou art the great God of heaven, the great creator of the universe. Beside thee, there is none else. We worship and bow down before thee. We worship thee in spirit and in truth. We worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. We bow in reverence and in humility. We seek thy face, O God, and pray for thy blessing and pray for the fullness of thy spirit and pray for thy power and presence as amongst us, to be amongst us today, that we might hear thy voice speaking to us and saying to us today, this is the way, walk in it. Help us to be obedient to thy commands. Help us to do that which is pleasing in thy sight. Deliver us from carelessness or coldness. There is always, even in these times, the temptation to be careless, the temptation to be negligent in our Bible reading and prayers, in our Christian lives and service. We pray that thou wilt deliver us from this, and grant that we might be a people that are wholly given to thee. A people at the beginning of this new year and throughout the course of this year who will serve the Lord with all our heart. That we will serve him from the very depths of our souls. Visit us, O God, we pray, that thy Spirit will come even today. That thou wilt work amongst us with mighty power. Move across our land, we pray, that in Ulster, in this island, across our nation and the nations of the world, there may be a visitation of the Spirit of God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon the Church of Christ. That, Lord, we might be not as a valley of dry bones, but raised up an exceeding great army, going forward mightily and powerfully to take territory for God. We ask that thou wilt equip us, that thou wilt enable us, that thou wilt empower us, that thou wilt use us, that thou wilt make us a blessing, that even today we might be a witness and a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the families who are hurting today. We think of the Lancashire family. We think of our brother Cecil in our midst today. Comfort his heart. And remember his brother and his sister and all of the family circle. Comfort them. We thank thee for every remembrance of his sister Mabel. And Lord, we know that she's in your presence. And Lord, we pray, O God, that thou wilt remember all left behind. And for any who know thee not, that thou wilt through this, her passing, draw them to know Christ. Remember Mary as she goes for the surgery. Go before her, we pray. Grant thy healing touch. And Lord, thy restoring hand. Bless the family. Comfort them at this time. Remember, O God, our brother Eric's wife, Florence. We pray for healing and restoration. Lord, we pray for thy ministry to her soul, that thou wilt draw her heart, even in these times, to trust only in Christ, the only Savior. Thank you for Eric's salvation and what you've done in his life over these past years. We rejoice in that. And we pray that, Father, you'd remember others who have sickness problems, those who are affected greatly by this pandemic, those who are even unable to get out because of the circumstances. Lord, bless them today, we pray. Minister to every need of every member and friend of the congregation, that, Lord, thy blessing will be upon us in these days and in the days to come. Pour out thy Spirit upon our land and upon our nation, that there may be a mighty reformation and revival, a mighty turning again to the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory. Thank you for our brother Hugh and his service to this church over decades of time. Lord, bless him and Dorothy. And oh God, we pray that they may know the blessing of God in a powerful manner and be long spared to continue service amongst us here in the church. We pray for our brethren who have taken on this responsibility. Bless Robert and Cecil. Help them and all of our committee in session. And in this new year, may we know thy blessing. We thank thee for meeting our financial needs. Thank you for how the debt has been coming down. We rejoice, Lord, for the giving of thy people. And we pray in this year, even we will see this debt completely removed. And Lord, that thou wilt answer prayer for the glory of thy great name. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. Well, boys and girls, we're turning you to the story of Moses again. Now, in a time past, we looked at Moses and how he was born and how God preserved him. But now, we're thinking about another aspect of Moses' life. We're thinking about Moses, the chosen leader of God's people. You see, God's hand was upon Moses. And God preserved him. And God kept him in those early years of his life because he was chosen to serve the Lord and to lead the children of Israel from out of the land of Egypt. And where was he, boys and girls? He was at the backside of the desert, Exodus chapter 3. And the first verses of that chapter of God's word tell us that. He was there. He was minding the sheep. He was a shepherd, boys and girls. And he was working hard at this occupation, unnoticed by so many people. And yet God had this man doing this work. He was preparing him for future service, for how the Lord would lead him and how the Lord would guide him in future days. You may be doing some work, maybe into the future, boys and girls, in your life. Who knows? But God, maybe even at this early stage in your life, is setting you apart that you might be a vessel for the Lord, as Moses was, chosen by the Lord to serve the Lord. And boys and girls, God met him. God met him. God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. A bush that was burning, but a bush that was not consumed. And here's a picture of the Lord revealing himself to Moses. God came and God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. And as he approached it, and as he looked upon it, God said to him, take off the shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground. And Moses was on holy ground, boys and girls. He was on holy ground. He was there in the very presence of God. God, the great I Am, revealed himself to Moses. And so, boys and girls, today, God speaks to the individual. Maybe he speaks to you in our service today as a boy or girl. And God is speaking to you about your need of salvation. Your need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And here Moses, face to face with God in this way, is brought to a wonderful closeness with God and communion with God. And so it can be with you this morning, boys and girls, that you can be brought into contact with God. Maybe not in this way. It was a very unique way. But boys and girls, this morning, God is speaking to you. And God wants to come into your heart and to take over your life and to be your Savior, even this morning, as you listen to God's precious word. We're going to sing a little chorus, boys and girls, just keeping our seats as we sing. And you can sing it out, boys and girls, and do the actions as we sing it through just the once this morning.
Thank you.
stressed out this morning anyway. You're all wakened up. Do you remember the little cards of the motto text? You can pick them up as you leave the service. And there's a little calendar in the back to remind you of all the dates for 2021. Do remember that as you leave the service. We're going to sing another hymn together. It's the hymn 727, just in our hymn book, but it'll be on the screen. Standing at the portal of the opening year, words of comfort meet us, hushing every fear. Spoken through the silence by our Father's voice, tender, strong, and faithful, making us rejoice. And we'll sing this hymn, just keeping our seats again as we sing together moderately.
Thank you.
Shall we turn to the Word of God this morning? We're turning to our reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The second letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, the chapter 1. And reading from the opening verse. Let us hear the Word of God this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is the effectual to the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us, by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us stand for prayer, please. Eternal God and loving Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I draw your attention this morning to the word of God in this portion of scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And when I directed your attention to the motto text for the past year, 2020, Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, I had no idea of how vital and valuable those words would be to all of us in the months that follow. Now I have been led by the Lord to take this motto text for this year. And I pray that the Lord will write his word upon our hearts today. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4 is the text. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Everyone has ups and downs in life, joys and sorrows. Sometimes we think there are more downs than ups, and that may be so even with you today. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, I am the subject of depressions of spirit so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go to. Paul the Apostle too suffered greatly from discouragement. He was exceedingly successful in his ministry. And yet the Bible tells us here in this very portion we've read from this morning, he despaired even of life. He was pressed out of measure. Great as he was in character and in ministry. And yet he was human like the rest of us. The best of men are men at the best. And how Paul needed comfort. And perhaps today as never before, your heart is overwhelmed. You feel great pain within you. And you feel in desperate need of comfort. You find in this chapter of God's Word a great emphasis on comfort. It's mentioned some 10 times in these early verses. Either the word comfort or comforted or consolation are mentioned in the references here. What was Paul's secret of victory when he was experiencing pressures and trials? His secret simply was God. And when you find yourself discouraged and ready to quit, get your attention off yourself and get your focus on God. And Paul underlines in our text today words of comfort for trying times. And that's my subject this morning. Words of comfort for trying times. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. There are 3 simple things that I want to leave with you from this portion of God's Word. First of all, the source of our comfort. And we see from verse 3 that God is the source of our comfort. The Father of mercy. And the God of all comfort. Of course, others may draw alongside to help us when we are at a low point. But ultimately, God is the one who comforts us. In our text we read, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. We often quote from those wonderful words in Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Or Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. That the Lord is with us. And be not dismayed, for he is thy God. He will strengthen us. He will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. These are but samples of many comforting verses in the Word of God that clearly show us today that without shadow of a doubt, God is the source of our comfort. The word comfort has the sense to call alongside. Comfort in the English term is derived from 2 Latin words, the Latin word calm that means with and fort, which comes from fortis, which means strong, and so comfort means literally with strength. God comes with strength. God is our refuge and strength, you remember. Psalm 46, verse 1. And so when a person has been comforted, they have been made strong. And we have those references, of course, in John 14 and verse 16 and verse 26. John 15, 26. 16 and 7, to the comforter. Have you ever been anywhere and felt so alone that you wanted somebody with you? Have you ever been alone in a strange land? That can be a very unnerving and frightening experience. The language is altogether different. The customs are different. The people are different. It's especially unnerving if you're on your own. It would be very helpful in such circumstances to have a guide. And suppose that that guide is not only an expert in that particular land and culture, but suppose he is your best friend. That could make the journey to be very different and to be very wonderful.
And when a person receives the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Savior, they find themselves in a different atmosphere. We're living in this world, the language is different. The customs are somewhat different. The patterns of thought, the habits of life you now experience are somewhat different. Wouldn't it be helpful to have someone to guide you? Wouldn't it be helpful if that person who guides you would also be a friend to you? The believer has such a guide. The believer has such a friend. The Lord Jesus Christ walked with his disciples in the land of Israel for some 3.5 years. He was constantly with them. And he was there to comfort them. He was the source of their comfort. You see, he is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Isn't it wonderful to have Jesus alongside us this morning? And when the disciples and those that were on the earth, believers in Christ, when he was upon the scene of time, when there were certain questions about various matters, they could go to Jesus and ask him. And what a comfort he was to them. And in all of the difficulties and dangers that they encountered, he was right there to help, to give the comfort that was needed at the very moment in which it was needed. And then we come to the closing words of the Lord Jesus. He's getting ready to die on the cross. And he speaks there in the 13th chapter of John, in the verse 33. And listen to the words that Jesus speaks in that verse of Scripture. "Yet little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." And the Lord Jesus Christ was about to depart from them. He was getting ready to leave them. Can you imagine how they felt? How these disciples were troubled. They were traumatized by this. Have you been any time somewhere that you felt so alone you wanted someone to be with you? The best friend is going away from the disciples. But look what he says in John 16 and 14. He says, "I will pray the Father and he shall send you another comforter." It's capital C, the comforter. The Holy Spirit. And then we read again in verse 26 of the same chapter 14 of John, the Comforter who is the Holy Spirit. He's clearly defined. He's sending them the Paraclete, as he's known, the Encourager, the Strengthener, the Helper. But best of all, I think those words, the Comforter, so aptly describe him. And you know the word Comforter is found only once in the Old Testament. When Job was going through all his afflictions and his friends, so-called, came to him and spoke to him, and he replied to them when he'd listened to all that they had said, all the harsh things they'd said, all the hard sayings that they dished out to Job. He said, "This miserable comforters are all of you." But we have a genuine comforter today. We have a helper. Oh, dear friends, at the commencement of this year, as you look out into the unknown and the uncertain future, we have a helper, we have a comforter. God is the source of our comfort. Jehovah, the triune God, is the God of all comfort. God the Father is the God of all comfort. That's clearly set out in the portion here in 2 Corinthians 1. God the Holy Spirit is our comforter, as we've been seeing. His very name is the Comforter in our authorized version. God the Son is our Comforter. The triune God is our Comforter. God the Son was sent to bind the brokenhearted and to comfort all that mourn. Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2. And in Luke 2:25, Christ is referred to as the consolation of Israel. We have a Comforter today. We have a friend. We have one who has drawn alongside us and will draw alongside us in the days that are to come. And so we have the source of all comfort. But then I want you to see, secondly, this morning, the situation of our comfort in all our tribulation, our text declares. Paul is speaking about something that has happened to him, an experience of affliction. He might have in mind the thorn in the flesh of which he spoke, and we'll speak later about that. He tells us not the nature of that affliction. But I'm quite sure it was something far deeper than a mere physical experience. Indeed, in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 1, he says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And then you will notice that the great apostle opens his heart to us in the following verses concerning the training through which he has passed for the ministry of this kind. Look at verse 6. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Look at verse 8. We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Verse 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead. And the Apostle Paul was one of the most afflicted men. He suffered from hunger and cold and nakedness and stripes and imprisonment, from perils by sea and land, from robbers, from the Jews and from the heathen. But the Bible tells us also today that we must, through tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. We're not here on a Sunday school picnic. We are here on a battlefield. And we must, through tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. There are trials and troubles for all of us to endure, darkness and dangers and difficulties, sufferings for the Lord's sake. Besides the external difficulties that Paul had to face, he was overwhelmed with the care and anxiety for the churches. He talked about the care of all the churches. As though he had not enough, then he had the thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to buffet him. And so we can see the extent of his tribulation, the extremity of his tribulation. You think of the tribulation endured by the great reformers of the faith, and many others who have stood and died for the faith, and some even to this very moment, and even as we meet today in freedom, they are dying for their faith. They're laying down their lives in North Korea and in China and in other places. They're giving their lives for the cause of the gospel. We are called to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We have to go through hard times mentally and physically, and maybe you're going through those times even now in your family situation or in your own Christian life. It's a dark period for you. Trials come on every hand, and we cannot understand sometimes. The road is rough, dear friends, and the path is crooked, and the sea lies before you as it did with the children of Israel. But remember, the Word of God says here in our text, and take it with you into 2021, dear friends, who comforteth us in all our tribulation? God comforts us in our situation, whatever that may be. And so we have the source of our comfort, and we have the situation of our comfort. But I want you to see the sharing of this comfort. That ye may be able, says Paul here in our text, to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see, Paul is speaking here about a training he had passed through, that he might bring comfort to others. He himself had been comforted in his own tribulation. And he found that comfort and that experience of God in his time of affliction, not simply for blessing in his own heart, but that he might be a channel of blessing to others in need. If we get the sense of this verse, it is this, and I suggest it is this, the sense of it is, who comforteth us in all our afflictions, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any affliction by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Notice the two words in sharp contrast as the sense of this text is brought out. Affliction and comfort. Affliction is the word that was used by the Lord Jesus when he said, In John 16:33, in me ye might have peace, in the world ye shall have tribulation. This is a far deeper than mere physical suffering. It is something that was to be the portion of all who would follow him. And see then this morning this simple principle. If you and I are to be a blessing to someone in need, perhaps to just one person whose heart is broken, who is without God and without hope today, if we would have that sacred, precious ministry to others, we are assured that this is something absolutely impossible for us to do by ourselves or by any human talent or ability. This is not a ministry that we will acquire at the university or at the college or at any school, but it is something that the Holy Spirit will give to us. It is He who will be our strength and endowment. But he will come to us only in the measure that we have entered into the affliction which the Lord said would be the portion of his people. You see, God allows times of testing for his people. Not that they might despair, but as they share in the fellowship of the suffering of Christ, they may know in a new measure the endowment of the Holy Spirit. Out from this pressure of affliction, the church will begin to fulfill again the tremendous ministry of comfort and blessing, which is her unique and glorious task. I am quite sure that these days of pressure upon the church have a very special significance in the mind of the Lord. I'm quite sure that if any of you know something about this in your own life, it is a very special significance for the ministry the Lord has for you. You know, in times of suffering, sometimes we're prone to think only of ourselves and to forget others. And we become cisterns instead of channels. Yet one reason for trials is so that you and I might learn to be channels of blessing, to be channels that will comfort and encourage others. Because God has encouraged us, we can encourage Him. Sharing comfort. Dr. George W. Truett, a great man of God, in one of his sermons, he tells us about an unbelieving couple whose baby died suddenly. Very tragic thing. In any home and family. Dr. Truett conducted that funeral and later had the joy of seeing them both trust the Savior. Many months later, a young mother lost her baby, and again Dr. Truett was called to bring comfort and conduct the funeral service. But nothing he shared with her seemed to help her. But at that funeral service, the newly converted mother stepped to the girl's side and said, "I have passed through exactly what you have passed through. And I know what you're passing through. God called me, and through the darkness I came to Him. He has comforted me, and He will comfort you." And Dr. Truett said, "The first mother did more for that second mother than I could have ever done. Maybe in days or in months. For the first young mother had traveled that road of suffering herself." You see that? Paul made it clear that we do not need to experience exactly the same trials in order to be able to share God's encouragement. If we have experienced God's comfort, then we can comfort them which are in any trouble, our text declares. Of course, if we have experienced similar tribulations, they can help us identify better with others and know better how they feel. But our experience cannot alter the comfort of God. That remains sufficient, and it remains efficient, no matter what our own experiences may be. Later on in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 12, if you read it, and we've referred to the passage earlier in the message, Paul gives us an example of this principle. He had this thorn in the flesh, which we've mentioned, some kind of physical suffering that constantly buffeted him. Now, people have speculated about what it is, and I'm not going to get into that speculation this morning. The Bible doesn't tell us what it is, so we leave it there. And we don't need to know what it is. But what we do know is that Paul experienced the grace of God and then shared that experience with us. And no matter what your trial may be, dear friend, today or into the future, God says, as he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And that's a promise we can claim. No matter what your difficulty. We would not have that promise if Paul hadn't suffered as he did. "My grace is sufficient for thee." And you know, my friend, the subject of human suffering is very difficult to understand. I remember one time, a very dark situation when someone was shot dead in the Troubles and I was called to do that funeral. And the mother, broken in heart, and as I went to that home, she threw her arms around me and said, "Mr. Smiley, why did God take my son? Why did God take my son?" I had no answer. I had no answer. And I don't have an answer. Friend, there are mysteries that we cannot understand. Mysteries that we cannot understand. And you know, God is always working out his purpose. And we cannot grasp these things, many of them, until we get to heaven. Sometimes we suffer because of our own sin and rebellion, as did Jonah and Samson too, and even David as well. Sometimes we suffer to keep us from sinning, as was the case of Paul here in 2 Corinthians 12. And suffering can perfect our character, of course. Romans 5, 1-5, it can help us share the character of God, lead us in the pathway of holiness, as Hebrews 12, 1-11 indicates. But suffering can also help us minister to others. In every church there are saints of God who have suffered and experienced God's grace, and they are great encouragers in the congregation. I know there are those who have told me of those who have received messages from individuals and just things that those individuals have done to encourage them in their trouble. It's unknown, and it remains unknown to only the Lord, the person concerned. But you know, Paul experienced trouble, and not as a punishment for something he'd done, but as preparation for something he was going to do. He was going to minister to others in need. Just think of the trials that David had to endure in order to give us the encouragement that we find in the book of Psalms. And 2 Corinthians 1, 7 makes it clear there's always a possibility that that situation might be reversed. The Corinthian believers might go through trials and receive God's grace so that they might encourage others. And sometimes God calls a church family to experience special trials in order that they might bestow up, that he might bestow upon them more abundant grace. God's gracious encouragement helps us to learn to endure. Patient endurance is an evidence of faith. If we become bitter and critical of God, if we rebel instead of submit, then our trials will work against us instead of for us. The ability to endure difficulties patiently without giving up is a mark of spiritual maturity, following on to know the Lord. You see, God has a work to do in us before he can work through us. It's much easier to grow in knowledge than it is to grow in grace. There are many people who have a lot of head knowledge about the Bible and they can quote all the verses and do all of these things. But friend, it's a different thing to grow in grace. Learning God's truth and getting it into our heads is one thing, but living God's truth and getting it into our character is quite something else. You think of young Joseph and how God shaped his life through 13 years of tribulation before he made him the second ruler in the land of Egypt. And what a great man Joseph turned out to be. And God always prepares us for what he's preparing for us. As part of that preparation is suffering. In the light of 2 Corinthians 1 and 5, It's very, very important. In this light, it's very, very important. Look at the words there. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Even our Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer. And when we suffer in the will of God, we're sharing the sufferings of Christ. It's referred to in Scripture as the fellowship of His sufferings. Philippians 3:10. The trials we endure because we like Christ, we are faithfully doing the Father's will. This is suffering for righteousness' sake. As the sufferings increase, so does God's grace increase. The Bible says, He giveth more grace. James 4:6. The Bible says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain grace to help in time of need. Help in time of need. You see, God's help is always timely. I read recently of a devoted believer in Christ who was arrested for his faith and condemned to be burned at the stake. The night before his execution, he wondered if he would have enough grace to become a human torch. And so he tested his courage. And he put his finger as a flame into the flame of the candle. And of course, it burned him, and he pulled his hand back in great pain. And he was certain that he would never be able to suffer martyrdom without feeling. But the next day, God gave him the grace that he needed. And he had a joyful and triumphant witness before his enemies. You see, God gives us grace exactly when we need it. Exactly when we need it. The important thing this morning is, and this year, is to fix your attention on God, not on yourself. So many people, even this pandemic, and they're fixing their attention on themselves. And I know we have to protect ourselves. And I know we have to be sensible. And I know we have to do all those things. And we should do them. And we have a duty to do them. But let's get our attention on God. Not on yourself. Remember what God is to you. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of mercies. The God of all comfort. Verse 3. Remember what God does for you. That He is able to handle all your trials. And make them work out for your good and His glory. And finally, remember what God does through you. And let Him use you to be a comfort. To be an encouragement to others by that telephone call, by that calling at someone's door, by that text message, by that act of kindness to comfort those who... I remember visiting a dear brother in hospital. And at the time I visited him at a very bad back, I was struggling to visit. I went to the hospital and this man was terminally ill. And he looked up from his bed and he said to me, Mr. Smiley, I know your back's so bad. Why did you come to visit me? And friend, I was almost in tears. But I never forgot that. Here's a man who's suffering. And yet he gave a word of encouragement to me. My suffering was nothing to what he was going through. But he gave that word of encouragement. And may you give that word of encouragement this year. May you comfort others who are in need. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, write thy word upon every heart, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning to the final hymn, you'll see it on the screen before you, and join in the singing of this hymn this morning as we conclude our service of worship together. It is 729 in the book, and it begins with those words, Great God, we sing that guiding hand by which supported still we stand. We'll keep our seats and then we'll stand for the concluding prayer. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all today, tonight, tomorrow, until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away, and then forevermore. Amen.